So I have had this picture by Ruben Ferreira on the office of my wall for quite a while now. And I had no idea when I first put it up that it would elicit such interesting and varied reactions. Some people have looked at it and said, that's an interesting, as in strange, picture of Jesus. Which point I tell them that it's actually supposed to be Thomas when he sees the risen Christ. At that point, there is usually an awkward, and the conversation just ends. Others have seen it and they just laugh. Still others, who are being far more direct, will say, who is that? Or, what is that supposed to be? What's harder to see at the top of this picture, and for the choir, this is Thomas. up here, you have to get really close, but it says Dominus Deus et Deus Meus, which is Latin for the words we heard Thomas exclaim today, my Lord and my God. I don't think that we are used to gazing on a person in complete astonishment. The brief time that this image has graced my walls, I would say that the overall feeling is one of slight discomfort. I'm not sure that in our modern world, we are even all that familiar with the feeling of absolute joy. And awe. It's not that we shouldn't be. There are amazing things that are happening all around us. I just think that oftentimes we're too distracted, or too busy, or simply don't care to notice. Our gospel story today is a great example of this. Over the centuries, and the way I've always heard the story told, we get so caught up in Thomas refusing to believe the other apostles about Jesus. We focus so much on the character of doubting Thomas. And in that, we miss so much. For instance, did you notice that Thomas is called the twin? What an odd detail to tell us. Maybe Thomas was a twin, fair enough. But if you're going to say that, I feel like you should at least elaborate about whose twin he is. The partly Gnostic Nag Hammadi library suggests that Thomas is the twin of none other than Jesus himself. Now, I, and most theologians and historians, are dubious of this claim. It's an interesting idea, although it's extremely problematic. But if it's not Jesus, then who? Now, a lot of people, myself included, were so focused on Thomas's seemingly grisly desire to stick his hands in the wounds of Christ that we miss the fact that the text doesn't ever actually tell us that Thomas did it. It never tells us that Thomas touched the risen Christ at all. Instead, in place of touching Jesus, Thomas is in absolute, dumbfounded awe, captured perfectly in this picture. And he says, my Lord and my God. What an incredible statement of belief. He goes from refusing to believe one moment to absolute faith the next. And then Jesus asks him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Here, I think we've also missed something important. Jesus is not just asking some rhetorical question. Jesus is asking Thomas. And for that matter, Jesus is asking all of the other disciples as well. Because all of them are there. All of them have seen Jesus in the risen flesh in the upper room. And then Jesus declares blessedness upon those who believe but have not seen, which doesn't apply to anyone in that room. I've heard this story so many times that it's hard to hear it anew. But who is Jesus telling that they are blessed because they have not seen and yet have come to believe? Not Thomas. He just saw Jesus. And it's clearly not the other disciples. They've seen Jesus twice now. So who is it? I think Jesus is talking to Thomas's twin. Imagine this with me. One comes forward and holds out their hands, seeking to touch the Savior. And when they realize that they are in the presence of Jesus Christ in the flesh, they declare, "My Lord and my God," in astonishment, in reverence, and in delight. Does that sound familiar at all? Now, I want you to imagine something else with me. I want you to imagine Thomas and his twin in parallel actions, next to each other, only now they're separated by a year or 500 or 2,000 years. One is in the upper room holding out his hands to touch Christ, the other holding out their hands to receive Christ in communion. In the former, Christ has been raised from the dead and is standing right before Thomas. And in the latter, the bread is lifted up, Jesus' body and blood is raised. And in both cases, the response is, "My Lord and my God." You see, Thomas is our twin. Or better yet, we are all the twins of Thomas, separated by lifetime. We are the ones that gather week after week like the disciples, not because we have seen, but because we are blessed to believe anyway. Jesus is declaring us blessed. And John tells us this story so that we can come to realize that Jesus meets us here at this altar just as he came to Thomas on that first day of the week. It's not a coincidence that there has been a practice during the Eucharist that when the bread or the wine is elevated, that people would silently acknowledge the presence of Christ by praying, "My Lord and my God." If we are truly appreciating the great miracle that we are present for each week, where we put out our hands not to re-pierce the wounds of Christ, but to welcome him lovingly into our hands, I imagine that we would all have the same expression as Thomas. Thomas may have been the first, but his twins carry on the story, remembering and sharing and being in awe. Thomas declared in amazement, "My Lord and my God." As we journey through this Easter season, may we embrace his awe. And whenever we meet the risen Christ, be able to exclaim, "My Lord and my God."